You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and we are continuing this week with reviewing and chatting about the Irish Film Festival Ottawa, week of the 12th to the 14th of April at the Arts Court. And this week we're going to, I don't know whether how you could possibly describe this, because when I grew up in Ireland, there was Fawcett's and there was Duffy's, and they were the two circuses that came around, and that was our exposure to clowns. And it was a long way from the end of the world. But George Kane seems to have taken those two concepts of Duffy's Circus, Fawcett's Circus, and the end of the world, and come up with Apocalypse Clown as a horror comedy or comedy horror movie. George, great to meet you. Thanks a million for coming along for a chat.
Thanks for having me.
I suppose does Duffy Circus and Fawcett's, were they still around in when, like, we have an age difference? Were they still around for you?
Yeah. Of course they were, yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw Fawcett's I grew up in Selbridge in County Clare.
Right.
And pretty sure I saw them at a young age there, saw some clowns, but I didn't see them again, so I'm not sure if it had the desired effect on me as an 8-year-old, but yeah, definitely. And they're still going, of course. They helped us out with the movie, Fawcett's.
Right. So a bit about yourself before we talk about the movie. You're what got you into movies? What's your background relative to cinema?
Well, I should start by saying I was born in Ottawa. I went to film school in Dunleary in Dublin, National Film School, and I loved films, but I also loved sketch comedy, Python, this kind of thing. So I equally wanted to pursue films as well as working in television in the UK for BBC, Channel 4, places like that, and try and crack the comedy scene there. I just sort of pursued that. I worked as an editor in Dublin and made a sketch show, a self-produced thing that I sent to Channel 4, which landed on just the right desk. And I sort of got my way into the comedy world in the UK that way. So I was sort of cutting my teeth doing sketch shows in Northern Ireland for BBC Northern Ireland and some stuff for Channel 4 in the early days. But while I was doing that, I was trying to develop film projects on the side through Screen Ireland and develop various things that I could keep rolling along while I tried to crack TV. And right. I've been doing that ever since.
So how did you get from Ottawa to Dunleary Ottawa to Selbridge?
My parents are from Chapel Izzet in Palmerstown, and in 1980 they got married and emigrated, and I already had... I think there was some aunts and uncles out there already. And obviously everybody was heading that direction at the time. And they were living there. I was born in 1982, and for several reasons, they decided to move back in 84. So they used to just talk very, very fondly of their time in Ottawa and the people they knew. And I kind of grew up with all those stories. But I had no actual memory of it myself. The photo albums were always around. But I always felt a connection to Canada as a result of that. And those aunts and uncles, in some cases, are still living there. And I've got friends there. So, yeah, I feel quite linked to Canada.
So before, again, we talk about the movie, how do you feel about having your movie been screened at the Irish Film Festival in Ottawa?
It's brilliant. It's perfect. It sort of debuted in Canada, which was nice, in Montreal last year. We went to the Fantasia Festival, which is nice. But for it to be specifically in the town I was born in, is quite special. It's nice. I'm hoping I might be able to get over for it, and perhaps some of those relatives will make it up too. Don't know what they'll make of it though, but it's great. It's fantastic to have it screened in Ottawa.
So now, your introduction or your enthusiasm for horror comedy, where does that come from?
Well, it's primarily comedy, to be honest. I would call it, it's an out-and-out comedy. There's like a touch, there's a particular character that plays on the idea of the scary clown that obviously goes back to the movie It and Pennywise and the odd serial killer back in the day. So people associate clowns with horror much more these days. But this is just an out-and-out, joke-packed, super silly clown road movie with a character who is a scary clown but doesn't realize it. She's just like... called Funzo, and is just a puppy dog who wants to belong, wants to be part of a troop, but is inadvertently terrifying and horrifies everybody she comes into contact with, but doesn't get it. She's oblivious to the fact, and eventually has to come to terms with who she is and what kind of clown she is. But comedy has always been my thing. Like, from a young age, my dad recorded a Marx Brothers movie off the TV one night, and the next day said, I used to love these guys, you probably will like them. And I was about 11, and it was one of their least good films, The Big Store. And I just began this strange obsession in my teenage years with the Marx Brothers. So I read every book I could, saw all their movies, and I was just into very silly stuff like Python and the airplane movies and Naked Gun and Mel Brooks. As I was growing up, so 17, 18, there was a bit of a golden age of UK comedy happening at the time. So you had, you know, The Office and Big Train and Spaced, and Father Ted was happening as well. And just a lot of great stuff that was inspiring me to pursue that and see if I could crack that world and be part of it. It's just, for whatever reason, it's always been my instinct, comedy.
George, comedy is a very challenging medium, I would think, because, you know, you're very dependent on what you know in your script, and as you develop it, that the humor is there and where you see the nuances of it. Yeah. And yes, you're relying very heavily on your audience being able to interpret that humor and get the depth of the humor.
Yeah. Well, you can't ever second guess that. You know, it's, comedy is completely subjective. Some of the, I would feel, the greatest comedies of all time leave other people totally cold. You know, so you just can't make a comedy that's going to please anybody or everybody. It's impossible. So I think the unspoken rule is that you just have to follow your own instincts and write what you think is funny and makes you laugh. And in our case, the group of writers together, we just had a very similar sensibility. It's completely ridiculous. And we just made ourselves laugh, and that's all you can do, because there are enough weirdos out there like us who will find this funny too. But it's definitely not going to be for everybody, and you can't sort of homogenize what you do to try and tick all those boxes. And also, you never know, certain shows you would never have predicted would be massive hits, and you know, they just catch the public consciousness for some reason, or word of mouth spreads, or it's a kind of comedy that hasn't been exploited in years. It's maybe a throwback to a different era and people miss that kind of comedy. You just can't predict it, so there's no point trying.
And you would have to in some way come up with a comedy that's universal rather than in any way colloquial or local, because if I think back, be it to the Hal Roach or the Neil Tobin, where their comedy was very specific and you needed to know what they were talking about in order to get it. Whereas if you go to, as you mentioned, the Marx Brothers or even to Charlie Chaplin, some of that slapstick style stuff, it's a lot more universal and gives you the license to achieve an awful lot more universally.
Absolutely. I've always thought that way. Anytime I was developing ideas, they were often had a strong Irish element to them, or they were set there, or there was an Irish, but I always considered it a flavor that people around the world like and enjoy. But I wanted to think internationally and write and develop shows and films that the premise of them would make sense anywhere in the world. And the uniqueness of the fact that it came from Ireland would give it an extra quality that people would enjoy, but it wouldn't dictate whether you got it or not. So for Apocalypse Clown, for instance, we're modeling it on, you know, those classic Hollywood disaster movies that a director called Roland Emmerich is famous for, like Independence Day and things like that, The Day After Tomorrow, really over the top disastrous films. But we, you know, shrank it down to a miniature budget and put it in the Midlands of Ireland and included a lot of clowns. So we're sort of aiming for that universality. If people get those movies, they get the references and the cliches of those films, but it's being handled in a way that you could never predict and haven't seen before. And there's a lot of little Irishisms in it as well, and jokes, you know, jokes for the locals, but not so much that it would alienate, you know, the Canadian audience or American audience.
Yeah, I recognize the low budget aspect when you were driving a Renault 4L.
It was the closest we could find to a clown car.
Yeah, I used to have one of them.
It's great. Looks fantastic in the film. We just about did five actors in it. So,
So the reaction, when you talk about comedy and how the nuances of it are, have you noticed much of a difference in reaction between the Irish audience and audiences in other geographies?
A little bit. I think, yes, obviously the things that reference Ireland landed great in Galway when we first played it there, and our premieres in Dublin and things like that. But there are references to I mean, there's a running joke in it about Garth Brooks that I won't spoil if you're going to see the film, but people in Ireland know what an enormous cultural figure Garth Brooks is for the people of Ireland and the controversy surrounding the concerts that were cancelled, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But in the UK, Garth Brooks means very little to people. In Canada and in America, he would mean more, but they wouldn't get the context for what it means to an Irish person. But we ran with it because it works and it makes us laugh. So that wouldn't, this, it's full of things like that. And there's a lot of references to sort of old 90s TV hosts and people. There's a particular character called the Great Alfonso. He's sort of the bad guy in the movie, and he was formerly famous, had his own show in the 90s, but he keeps name dropping these people he used to hang out with back in the day, like Angus Deaton and people like that. You know, and in the UK and Ireland, we all get the reference there, but that's not going to travel. But with stuff like that, I think of The Simpsons was one of the biggest shows in the world, was one of my favorites in the 90s, and that was name-dropping all sorts of people that I'd never heard of. And the same with Python. They'd drop philosophers' names, and Python were making jokes about Pablo Neruda, and I'm like 14, no context for the joke, but I still got it. And that's kind of how I carried on. Let's not worry too much about recognition.
On the festival circuit, because you mentioned the Galway Film Flan, you were in Montreal last year, how have you felt about the responses there? And again, you're with those, you would have been traveling a variety of geographies, and you're in Los Angeles and you're out there representing yourself. How are you finding those experiences?
It's been great. It's a film that I don't think there's many like it these days that are just out and out silly joke fests, but they're also not in cinemas much. A lot of comedies on streaming now, Netflix, etc. And again, I'm coming from television where I've been making comedy for 10 to 15 years, and you don't get to watch it with an audience. You know, it goes out on BBC, but you don't get to sit with the people watching it. So you don't get to hear the laughs, which is really the reward for all the efforts to make it funny. So the lovely thing is to have spent so long with your friends developing and writing this, and then finally get to screen it for 300 people in Galway and hear the laughs and hear it work. And there's nothing like it, you know, when you're worried to begin with, and you know where the first laugh is supposed to come, and then it does, and you're like, okay, I think we're good. And it's such an unpredictable story that people leave going like, what the hell was that? That was crazy. And the element of surprise is a key part of comedy. So if people don't know where the jokes are going to come from, and it just hits them from left field, that's the best thing. So it's been really good. And it's not uniformly, you know, in Montreal, our first screening was a little more muted than I would have liked. But then the next one was fantastic. So it just sort of depends on the makeup of the audience and the demographic. And if laughter is infectious, you know, so if it starts well and people sort of get on board with it, they'll take anything you throw at them. But you just never know. Can't all be good.
We have Patrick Murray here with us. Patrick's the executive director of the Irish Film Festival in Ottawa. Delighted to have you here with Patrick. Patrick, have you anything you want to contribute here or talk to?
Yeah, I was just curious, like, how did you come up with the idea of marrying post-apocalypse clowns? Such a unique idea. Like, what was the eureka moment for you?
Well, it was a very slow eureka moment, to be honest. It was... The whole project began with the play that the writers had written. They were a comedy rock band in Ireland called Dead Cat Bounce that had quite a big following and went to Edinburgh Fringe every year, were the house band there, and Melbourne Comedy Festival, etc. But they wrote a play called Clowns back in, I think, 2010, and performed at the Dublin Fringe. And it was these three characters, and they played the characters themselves. But the idea began by taking that great play and those characters and putting them in a much bigger, more cinematic, over-the-top adventure where they didn't belong. So for a long time, the movie was actually set in West Africa. They were doing some unsolicited humanitarian clowning work in West Africa and get into almost like a Three Amigos Tropic Thunder style situation where they're kidnapped, and it's really chaotic, but very ambitious. And We really tried to make that, and we very nearly did, but keeping the money together and getting the right amount of money to make it was very tough. So really what happened was, over the course of 2019, 2020, we were realizing this was going to be an uphill struggle. COVID happened, and we realized we're not going to get to shoot this abroad. Maybe it's time to throw in the towel on the African version and really think about how we can make this work in Ireland somehow. So a lot of, throwing around of ideas in the early days of lockdown. And maybe it was what was in the air at the time, the sense of end of the world, apocalyptic situation, the sort of sense that Ireland has gone feral in the space of 24 hours. It just sort of blended together. We thought there's something really funny about these clowns trying to road trip their way across Ireland after some global event has thrown the country into disarray. It was the one thing that made us laugh, and we thought, oh, we can see that working. And it actually improved the film in many ways, made it a lot sillier. And we ran with it, and Screen Ireland continued to back us. So it was it's a long story. It wasn't just an instant, you know what we should do? It was sort of a nine-year eureka moment.
That could have been an interesting, it's too bad that it didn't work out with the African idea, although the one we have now is great, just in the sense it could have been a great satire on kind of Western poverty tourism and stuff like that.
100%. That's kind of what it,
yeah.
You know, they weren't invited. There is a real organization that does nice work called Clowns Without Borders. Like, it's a real thing where they go to war-torn places and disadvantaged countries around the world and entertain children. And it's a great organization, but we kind of like the idea of subverting that by putting these four awful people into that scenario, completely self-serving performers and journalists, and letting them go wild. And it's sort of as a satire of white saviorism and those kind of movies, you know, that we've seen a lot of over the years, less so now. But yeah, that's an alternate universe where that exists. But we've come out with something potentially even more unique as a result. So we're very proud of it.
So, George, before we wrap up, and I want to remind the listener that Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Elma Duncan Theatre is where the screening will happen, and tickets are available at irishfilmfestivalottawa.ca. Given what we're talking about in clowns and all the rest of it, is there a piece of music that would be particularly relevant here?
Well, the original version of the script that was set in West Africa was called Send in the Clowns. So it's... obviously a very famous Sondheim, right? Stephen Sondheim song. So some version of that would probably do the trick.
Yeah, I think there might be an Irish version out there that would be very appropriate.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, good way to be sending us out.
George, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you, and hopefully you might be able to make it out for the weekend to Ottawa. That's the 12th to the 14th of April. And tickets again are available at irishfilmfestivalottawa.ca. Patrick Murray, thanks a million for taking the time to come along also.
Thank you for having me. And as